You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I want to address the concept of fear. I want to talk about a systematic approach with understanding fear, where it comes from, and how we can begin to minimize it. I find oftentimes in my personal life that fear can get in the way of doing things that I want to do. In my professional life, I see clients oftentimes overcome with fear. I mean, really. Their whole life is based on fear. They can't do this. They can't do that. They're scared to do this. They're scared to do that. Because if they do that, something bad might happen. Something awful. Something just awful could take place if they were to do that. And I find that fear can sometimes be healthy to a certain degree, right? Fear can sometimes be healthy to a certain degree because, you know, you're not jumping off like an overpass because you think that you can do it. You have a healthy sense of fear as far as, if I jump over that highway overpass, I'm probably not going to live. If I do live, it will not be in a very good capacity as far as quality of life, being that I brought that on myself. So there's like this sense of fear that has, you know, dynamic response as far as, okay, this is okay. This is an okay sense of fear. Another okay sense of fear, I'm not going to walk down the highway and through the couple of left lanes. I'm not going to walk down the left lane of the highway at night knowing that, you know what, I'm probably going to get hit, right? So there's certain things that are good concepts of fear, things that we don't do. I think some of us would even think those things are absurd. They're so absurd, you wouldn't even think doing it. But oftentimes, we get so weighed down by concepts of fear that we kind of don't even know where it's coming from. And I find that fear originates oftentimes by imagery, by our past. Imagery is a big thing. And imagery in our minds come from what? From our past situations, from the news, from media, from the things that we read, what we hear about, what other people talk about. Think about all those things that are coupled into the fear factor. You know, it's not until somebody tells you about how bad something can be that you actually go, oh my God, that could be really bad. I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that I could go horseback riding and I could fall off the horse and break my neck and be paralyzed. Oh my God, that happened to who? Oh geez, that happened to Christopher Reeves? Oh my God. Not to mention the fact that you would probably just be riding the horse, just riding it. Like, you're not trying to jump and do, like, any sort of agility courses or contestant in any sort of contest. No, but we don't really think about any of that stuff. We just hear somebody fell off a horse and was paralyzed. Therefore, all horseback riding can cause paralyzed and can cause you to die, right? So we all get all freaked out on a constant basis listening to what happened to other people. Reading about what happened to other people, reading on Facebook what happened on other people. But biggest thing is our past, right? So think about when we were kids. When we were kids, we see things in a different light. We had a different perception that colored our life. And one of a good example that I'd like to share right now is think about the concept when you were like 2 or 3 years old, about 2 years old. When we were children, we actually, whatever we saw on TV, because of our perception and the way that we could handle and visualize and understand what was happening on TV, we believed was happening in our home. We couldn't tell the difference mentally within our mental functions that what was happening on that TV set, on that TV tube, for most of us that we had TV tubes, not flat panel screens. Some of you are young enough to have flat panel screens when you were a child. And for most of us, we had those two tube TVs where, you know, you saw the picture in the TV. And so we would think that that was actually happening in our home, whatever was going on, whether it was, Wonder Woman, you know, maybe it was, you know, Charlie's Angels. Maybe it was, you know, I don't know. Think about Quantum Leap, whatever it was. We thought that that was actually happening in our own home and we couldn't tell the difference. And so some of those things that we actually thought were happening in our own life that weren't, we've actually created a fear factor around. Also, throughout our life, as we grow up, we create fears around other things as well, because our mind wants to try to protect us from something bad happening. Our mind wants to protect us from something bad happening because it wants us to protect us. It tries to make sure that we never have that pain again, or that problem again, or that situation again. And I have a really good example for you. I think most of y'all are going to laugh at this because it's kind of gross, but it's kind of funny. When I was young, when I think I was about 5 years old, my parents took me to Disneyland, Disney World, whichever one's in Florida. I had Disney World, Disneyland. I think Disneyland's in Florida. I don't know. I've bet several people in the past on this and lost every time. It's the Disney place in Florida I'm talking about. So we went out there and I was 5 years old, and my parents and I went out there and we stayed at one of the facilities, one of the hotels on property, right? So we stayed at one of those hotels on property, and it was one of those futuristic hotels or whatever. It was pretty cool, I remember. And we got to the hotel room, we put our bags down, and we went to the park, and we rode the rides and did all that kind of stuff and ran into some of my family members that were living out in Florida and all that good stuff. And we came back that night to sleep, and I was sleeping, my parents were sleeping in a king-size bed, and I was sleeping on the couch that came out as a bed. And I remember we rolled it out, and you open up the couch, and you take off the cushions, and you move those off to the side, and then you pull the bed out. And so it was like, it's kind of like that. It was like a rollaway bed that rolled back into the couch. So we pulled that out, and the sheets were on there, what have you. And I get in bed, and there is a severed finger, a part of a finger, yes, inside the sheets. Little blood, part of a finger. Don't know how that existed. I don't know how it got there. But at 5 years old, do you know how traumatic that is? Do you know how crazy that is at 5 years old? Okay. Okay, so this will make y'all laugh. So think about me as an adult now and growing up with that at 5 years old. So that image will never go away unless you do some sort of hypnotherapy or some sort of shock therapy or something like that. I'm not doing any shock therapy. So that image is around, and I have to engulf it with the fact and realize in a positive sense that there aren't a bunch of fingers laying in sheets, and I'm not going to have to worry about that. But since that day, I have not been able to get into a bed in a hotel room without pulling the sheets all the way back, checking all the corners and sides. Because you know how they always, it's nice. I do this at home now. I always tuck the sheets in the bottom, and I tuck them around the side because, it's so luxurious. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's nice, because otherwise you have your feet sticking out, and you're cold, and you got one foot out. And if you're married, then the sheets start moving, and somebody's got sheets and somebody doesn't. So, I'm smart about that. I tuck in the sheets, and then I tuck in the top blanket. So when I go to a hotel, I go through those sheets and that top blanket like I'm total military. I'm going to make sure there's nothing in there. There's no blood. There's no severed fingers. Do you see what I'm saying, though? That is where we get our fear. And sometimes fear can be healthy, but sometimes fear can get in the way of us living a normal life. So think about that. Every time I go to a hotel, before I get in the bed, I have to pull the top sheet off, pull all that off, look in it, dig through it, go up underneath it, do all that stuff, go into the pillowcases every single time. Now, I don't have to do it every single night when I'm in the same bed, but I have to check the bed initially. And I know that sounds crazy too, so think about that. They make the bed every day in between the time. So it's, there's somebody that's either washing the sheets or making the bed. If you decide that you're going to be green and put that little tag there that says, I want to keep these same sheets. You can, I'm trying to help environment, trying to help Mother Earth, which I usually do. Okay. But think about it. So think about how funny the fear is based on something that happened at five, but I only check it initially when I show up in the beginning of a trip. So it could happen anytime. And so you see how funny fear can be. Because a lot of times it doesn't have a lot of basis in reality, okay? It doesn't have a lot of factual backing. It just is created because of something that happened or something we saw or something we think that happened or something we read about or something we saw in the news or the media, and it becomes out of hand. And I've had some clients where literally they cannot get out of their house to go to work because of something they saw on the news. Because it scares them and makes them so fearful, and they think something bad's going to happen to them, they can't get out of their house. So they got to call in sick, or they got to make up something to their work. Do you see how this can get in the way of living your life? Fear can really minimize the quality of our life. And so tonight I'm going to be talking about a systematic approach that I've come up with to understand fear. We realize where it's come from, right? And now we're going to understand how to really minimize it. Because if we can minimize our fear factor, we can enjoy our life to a totally different degree we didn't even think was an option. And also, we can be the example to other people in our life, because, you know, people are looking up to you, especially if you're listening to Live Your True Life Perspectives. You got something going on and people are looking up to you. Check out the website. We got a facelift. Well, let's just say that the website got some Botox and some injections instead of a facelift. www.ashleybergs.com. Check out the site. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. I hope you're going to love it. Tell me what you think about it. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking more on fear and live your true life perspectives with you know who. We'll be back this time, and well, be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I'm talking about fear. The fear of the unknown. We're talking about a systematic approach that we can understand fear. We've been talking about where fear came from earlier in the first segment, and we're going to talk more about how we can minimize this fear. You know, right before the break, I was talking about where fear comes from. And, you know, throughout our life, we have fear. We fear different things. We fear situations based on our past, based on our upbringing, based on things we saw in the news, things we read in the newspapers, things we hear from our friends, family, relatives, folks on Facebook and social media. Think about it. You hear about one person that got carjacked in a certain area of town, and you go, oh, God. Oh, Jesus, I can't go there. We're all going to die over there. Well, you know what I'm saying? And so we constantly make up these stories based on what happened to one person. Some of the times we don't even know that person. We just go on and take it for face value. And I don't know about you, but when somebody tells me something about a person, unless I look at that person like they walk on water and I know them, I know them, like I know that they're a very loving and authentic and genuine and filled with gratitude person. Otherwise, I will not take what they say about someone else. So why would I take face value of what someone says about a situation that happened to somebody I don't even know? Think about it. But we do it all the time, and then guess what? We live our life in fear. I got a good example for you. My mother, when she was younger, loved animals. She still loves animals, but she was very much an animal lover, and she was an outdoorsy person and all that good stuff, until a friend of a friend, and see, this is how things go, like, a lady that used to work for another lady, that used to housekeep for somebody, that knew somebody, that best friend's cousin once removed, you know how this stuff goes. We don't ever really think about the logistics of being fearful of something. We don't even know the person it happened to. So what happened is this. My mother used to love squirrels, and she thought squirrels were so cool. And then she found out that someone she knows that knows someone else, that works for someone else, got bit by a squirrel. And I'm not telling everybody to go out there and hang out with squirrels and pet squirrels and keep a pet squirrel at home. But I'm saying it's like this weird fear factor that we have based on someone we don't know that got bit by a squirrel trying to feed a squirrel. And you know, the stories are always crazy. Like, apparently in this particular story, the lady got bit on the finger, and then the squirrel wouldn't let go of her finger, so she had to go to the hospital with the squirrel still attached to her finger. I don't know about y'all, but maybe that did happen, but it's always like the worst scenario possible. And then we go our whole life going, oh, God, I'm a little scared of squirrels. Yeah. And then we make all these little comments about it. Oh, they're awful, they're dirty, they're this or that. It's like, you know, can we just let go of the fact that it's this fear factor that is terminating our happiness? And I'm not saying go out there and go pet a squirrel today. I do not say that. So if you come back bitten, don't be looking at me, okay? Don't be looking at me. But seriously, our fear gets in the way of our happiness. So let's talk about what types of fear that we have. What types of fear do we have? You know, I think a lot of us have fear, first off, of the unknown. Fear of the unknown is the number one fear factor we have because we don't know any better. We don't know. We just don't know. And because we just don't know, we go on and expect the worst. You know, you always hear people say, oh, plan for the worst. Well, why do I want to plan for the freaking worst, okay? So I can get the worst? What if we just plan for the things to work out and I work really hard to make that a reality and it just works out, right? Instead of fearing everything that can possibly go wrong. I mean, fear is a very interesting thing. And the fear of the unknown is the thing that keeps most of us stuck. I don't know if y'all remember The Truman Show. The Truman Show, the first time I saw it a long time ago, I couldn't even watch it all the way through. Could not watch it. I don't know. There's like part anger because I was angry at the people for doing this to somebody. And part just like, God, this sucks. But over time, it was recently I was watching Netflix and I saw it on and I was like, oh my gosh, let me check this out. And I fell in love with it. I don't know about you, but I fell in love with it. You got to check out the show again. It's called The Truman Show and it's got Jim Carrey in it. And it's an older film, yes, but I think it's timeless. And why I say that it's timeless is because he has a fear of the water, okay? He has a fear of the water because his dad drowned in an episode. Well, it's not, he doesn't know it's an episode, but his dad drowned when he was young. And he didn't really die and he didn't really drown. And it was all set up because it's actually a TV show that's filming this kid from the day he was born. And so they created like this water feature and they were able to, you know, create tides and everything where the dad ends up falling off the boat and that sort of thing. They basically got rid of the dad out of the scene and they got rid of the dad out of the script and they were able to cut a cost of an actor. But when in his eyes, his dad drowned. And he always had that fear of water. And so they were able to keep Truman on the soundstage, on the set that they created, this huge set, because they surrounded everything with water because they knew that he was so fearful of that, that he could not leave. And I find that this film is very symbolic in most of our lives. What is your fear factor? What is your water? What is your water? What is your catastrophe at sea situation in your head that's holding you back? Because I know we all have it to some degree. I mean, most of us all have this to some degree, whether it's the fear of being alone, the fear of dying. The fear of death is a big one. I think that would have to be the second one, is the fear of death. Again, this really goes back to the unknown because most of us haven't died before and come back in this lifetime to talk about it, right? There are books out there, yes. There are books out there. I read a couple of them. Remember, I recently interviewed the gentleman that did that one book about the guy that died and actually wrote a book to talk about it. Cecil Murphy. Cecil Murphy, you know, he wrote that book and it was very interesting. It was about a man that talked about and did a recount of the time that he died in an auto accident and then, you know, basically came back to life. But it wasn't us. And so we have this, we become skeptical. Is this the way, you know, death really is? Or was this just for him? Or was it in him and his mind seeing this stuff and it really didn't happen? All these questions because it's the unknown. Again, a fear of the unknown. And I find that the fear of death is one that really, you know, no pun intended, nails the coffin, you know, puts the nail in the coffin, because I feel that we often hold back from doing things. We get scared of doing things based on this fear. And some of this is a very logical, acceptable fear. You know, some of this is very acceptable in the fact that you know, I'm not really wanting to jump out of a plane anytime soon. And I know that the parachute's probably going to open, you know, but I'm not there yet. I'm not one of those, like, you know, thrill seekers that I got to go out there and have this adrenaline rush and throw myself out of a plane and hope that the parachute opens. But, you know, on the flip side, a lot of you have done that. And you said, you know, it was the most exhilarating experience of your life. And then some of you said, hey, you remember that guy? I don't know where it happened at, but it was like several years ago. And he jumped out of a plane and his parachute didn't open and he just felt his death. And he had to see himself die all the way down. You know how horrible that is? Okay, so think about it. I'm on the fact that I'm not that fearful about, like, I don't sit there and imagine dying jumping out of a plane. But it's not something I necessarily want to do. Some of you have already done it and said it's the most exhilarating thing in your life. And you love to do it. And you love it. And you love it. And you love it. And some of you are so scared. You wouldn't be able to walk up there to that plane if you had to. If your life depended on it, you couldn't do it. Because you would be so, you'd be unable to move because you're so scared. Because all you can think about is that guy, we don't remember what state it was. And we don't remember when it happened. But, you know, he fell out. He came out of the plane and it didn't open. And he just plummeted to his death and got to see himself die all the way down. You see what I'm saying? This is where fear comes from. So we have the fear of the unknown. Hashtag death. Hashtag. Slash death. Okay, you know, the next thing that we have the fear of, I believe, is failure. The fear of failure is something that affects a lot of us, right? It affects a lot of us because we're scared of failing. What happens if we fail? What happens if we're not able to make something happen? What happens in our career, our family? Our marriage, our life, for God's sakes. What if we fail? What happens then? Stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about the fear of failure, what that means to us, how a lot of us have gotten stuck in that and stuck in that rut. Go on and comment right now on Facebook. Comment on Ashley Burge's public page. We have a conversation going right now. Tell me what you're dealing with as far as your fear factor. And how you're trying to work to overcome it. Even about your family members, your friends, whatever. Tell me more about some of the fears that you see and maybe ways to overcome it. Because we have to figure this out to help each other out. Stay tuned. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com. Check out the podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeart Station. We got our own iHeart Station now. And the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. Leave your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm addressing the concept of fear. What we're fearful about, where it comes from, and how we can begin to minimize our fear and live our true life. Fear. I don't know about you, but I have fear about certain things, okay? And I do, and I've been working to minimize my fear, and that's why I wanted to do this show tonight. Because if I'm going through it, I bet a lot of people who are listening are going through it too. And it's something we don't really talk about because we kind of feel like maybe we're lesser of a person if we have this fear factor. We wonder, you know, how this is all going to happen, what's going to go together. And we wonder where it comes from sometimes because some of this stuff we know in our heart of hearts has no basis in freaking reality. No basis in reality whatsoever. And some of it does. And some of it is reinforced by walking and running into friends, relatives. Some of it's reinforced by the stories that are told, by the news, by the media. I mean, think about it. How many times you turn on the news and somebody's been killed or murdered or carjacked or whatever happened, you're like, oh God, oh God, oh God, that's just awful. Oh God, what am I going to do? And we allow it to basically, you know, keep us in a state of not being able to do anything. We're like immobilized. And I've been there before where you're just like, holy hand grenade, Superman. I don't know what to do. And I think there's a good, healthy sense of fear when it comes to certain things, but I think that oftentimes our fear is so unhealthy, so out of control, that it takes away from our day-to-day life. It gets in the way of our enjoyment, of our happiness, of feeling content, of being happy and feeling good about our lives. And it gets in that way where we're just like, ah, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm stuck here. And I have a really good example of something that happened the other day. I know, I'm telling you. I am real and authentic on this show. We don't sit there and pussyfoot around at all because there's no reason to, right? I mean, people can sit there and say, oh, I'm not fearful of anything. Well, who the heck cares? I don't want to listen to that. I want to listen to somebody that's actually dealt with it, been there, done it, looked it right in the eyes and said, screw it, I'm moving on. And the other day, I was climbing. I was on the side of this mountain. Seriously, I was in Sedona. Beautiful. And I had been in this mountain before. I had gone the same direction before, just a couple of days again before. And I and the rest of the group was going, and I said, hey, y'all go ahead of me. And they're like, what's going on? I go, y'all go ahead of me. I'll meet up with you. I couldn't understand what was going on, but I was having this immense fear. And I ended up sitting down on the side of this rock, and I just kind of stayed there. And I was like, oh, my God, what's happening to me? And I realized that I had fear. I had the fear of falling to your death. What would happen if I fell? What if I misstepped? What if I stepped on a rock a certain way, and there's no guardrails and none of that, and I just went off the side of the mountain? And then you started fear factoring about everybody else in your group. What if something happens to them? What if I can't help them? What if I can't get to them in time? What if they fall? I mean, and I was like, God sakes. I was like, why is this happening? So I had to sit there and check myself for a little while and realize, you know, oftentimes that fear comes up when we're kind of dealing with some other stuff in our life too. Like, it's like, it's kind of like the thing that stops us in our tracks and kind of makes us evaluate. And like what I was talking about earlier, the Truman Show. He stayed and played his part because, and he didn't know he was in a film. I mean, he didn't know that he was in a show, a TV show that was being watched by everybody in the whole world. But because he was so fearful of the unknown, he never explored. He didn't know. And he had friends around him that kind of increased his fear factor by talking about how, you know, somebody might have died in the water or something happened or whatever it was. And he took that fear on himself and was like, oh God, I can't do that. I can't do that, because they were doing that to keep him where he needed to be. And I realized that we're not normally in like the Truman Show where people are making money off of us by keeping us on a soundstage and on a set that we don't know about. I mean, some of you might be, some of that might be in your mind. However, some of you maybe, but for the most part, it's us that keeps us playing that role, playing that part of Truman, because we're so scared to do something we don't really know all about. We're so scared to take that leap of faith, to make that happen where we go, you know what? This is real. This can happen. And that fear of the unknown and the fear of death are coupled together like we talked about earlier. But I think one of the things that we also fear, in the same time we're fearing the unknown, I think most of you, 99.9% of the population, fear death, okay? Let's all be realistic about it. I mean, some of y'all have a death wish, okay? But most of us fear it, right? But the fear of failure in all areas, in all facets of our life, is something that is critical in our life. It's something that really just kicks our butt. Do you see what I'm saying? And that fear of failure is something that stays and gets in our way of achievement oftentimes. Often we are scared. What if we don't succeed? What if it turns out to be a bomb and everything's awful and it's just disgusting. Nobody likes it and it's done and they go, get out, leave. And you're like, oh God. But you know what? It normally doesn't happen that way, does it? I mean, how often does that happen? Not that often. People might not like what you produce or what you do. You might have to, you know, step up your game and do something. But, you know, for the most part, what's one thing that comes out of sometimes, quote, failure, end quote, failure? Because I don't think that we ever really fail unless we don't do. I think the only time we fail is when we have regret because we don't do something. We sit on the sidelines of life and we anticipate this, the fear of the failure. And we let that fear just literally, just kind of like roll all over us. And it gets us into that spot where we can't, it's like we feel like we can't move. We're stuck. Almost like made out of stone. And I've been there before where you're fearful because you don't know what's going to happen. But you're so fearful you don't know if you should go on. On the flip side, I often see folks come into my office who have a fear of success. And you know, there's two sides to this coin because I think that the fear of success is the fear of failure really rolled up in it. But I think it's a nice positive way of talking about it. Because I think that in order to succeed, we have to put ourselves out there to fail. And I think that that fear of failure or fear of success, however you want to look at it, the glass is half empty, the glass is half full. It's the same darn argument. It's the same fear factor, right? So when we look at that fear factor and we understand that on both sides of the coin, how do we overcome that? How do we get past that fear in our life? Because I've seen it happen so many times. It's happened in my own life where I was fearful, what happens if I do this and it doesn't work? But you know what? Fear manifests itself not only in the not doing, but in the avoidance. I'm going to avoid something because if I avoid it, maybe I won't have to deal with it. If I don't have to deal with it, then I won't ever fail. If I don't ever fail, then I'll never feel this anymore and I'll be good. But the problem is, right, is that we go from the fear of failure to the fear, but not really fear anymore, but the feeling of total and utter regret. When was the last time you talked to an elder in your life who never did what they wanted to do in their career or their personal life, and they have a lot of regret mounting up on a day-to-day basis that they can't seem to shake off? Yeah. Yeah, and that regret starts discoloring their day-to-day perspective and their feeling about their life. And so this discoloration, which we like to call regret, because regret really is a discoloration because it changes things because we begin to see things in the negative. Not what I've done, but what I didn't do. And that can be very evasive and it can erode the things that we've done. And so I begin to sit there and say, you know, heck, I would rather, I guess, quote, unquote, fail, which again, I don't think there's a failure unless you don't do it, than have all this mounted up regret when I get older just to sit back and look at my life and go, well, crap. This really sucks. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. What if I could have done that? What if that would have happened? What if? Crazier things have happened, let me tell you that. And I got some mega goals in my life. I got some mega goals in my life, just like you do. And I feel like we gotta work and try it out because who knows? Stranger things have happened. These can actually come true. I mean, you gotta believe and you gotta work at it 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 and you gotta work at it, but you know what? It can happen. Stay tuned when I return to be talking more about fear. Better yet, how we can begin to let these various types of fear go and begin to live the life that we deserve. Check out the Ashley Burgess Network. Check out Live Your True Life Perspectives on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play. Check me out on Identity and Identify Radio in the UK. Identify Radio in the UK. Amazing group of people. Really love it. Really glad to be a part of it. Check out Radio Monterey and all the other upcoming stations we got going and the rest of them on the website. You can find it at ashleyburgess.com. Also, check out my once-a-week show that's worldwide as well called The Celebrity Perspective. I think you'll like that. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time and, well, back this time in two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been talking about fear. I've been talking about how to understand fear, where fear comes from, and how we can begin to minimize our fear tonight. And I agree, there's some fears, healthy amounts of fear. There's certain things in life that, you know what, you probably shouldn't be doing, like running down the highway naked, like jumping off an overpass to see if you can do it. I mean, those kind of things, there's a healthy amount of fear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so you're not like one of the Avengers in the Avenger movies where you can just jump off things, jump out of helicopters, land on your feet. Those kind of things, you know, it's okay to know that you're probably going to die if you do that kind of stuff. You're not probably going to die. You get what I'm saying. But I'm talking about there's a lot of fear in our life that quite honestly has no basis in reality. And that's the fear that we want to begin to eliminate and work on tonight. We want to eliminate and work that on that tonight because guess what? Our whole lives can change based on making this better. Because I know that fear can stop me in my tracks. I know that fear has gotten in the way of me doing things in my life. I know that fear has been the biggest situation that I've had to deal with throughout my life because I was scared. I was scared, much like in the Truman Show. I was scared to go through that, to deal with the water situation, to have to get in a boat and go over that water because he had seen his dad die and he went through that stuff, what he thought he saw his dad die. Okay. But do you see what I'm saying? And that kept him immobilized for 20-something years. And at the end of the movie, you remember, he gets in that boat and he goes into that water and he literally goes out there and he sails through it. And they put everything against him. They put everything against him. And he kept on doing it. And at the end, they stopped all the machines that were moving the water and causing basically the hurricane. He could have died, right? And at the end, he realized when the helm of the boat punctures the wall, and he realized that it's made out of like a paper type thing, and there's a walkway up, a ladder type thing up, like some stairs. He goes, oh my God. And he realizes like, good day, good afternoon, good evening. If I don't see you, good day, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Remember? It's one of the best movies ever. And he overcame his fear. And that's the thing, is that once we overcome that fear, we move on to this next level of life. And I think we need to address first off the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown cripples us. And it's the one thing that has no basis in reality. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But we can get a good idea. When it comes to death, I mean, unfortunately, physically, we're all going to have a physical death at the end of this life. I don't think that it means that you're dead forever, okay? I really think that you got a lot more time, okay? Just throwing that out there. But it'll be a physical death. And that scares the crap out of most of us, right? But if we're always concentrated in the fear of death, we can't live. We can't live in a life that's crippled with fear of death. Because what are we doing? We're just waiting and offsetting what's going to happen. We got to live for today, live for this week, live for this month, live for this year, instead of focusing on the fact that, oh God, There's going to come a time. Yep. What am I going to do? And I know a lot of us don't want to talk about this, and I'm not going to sit there and just berate this out, but I'm just saying, heck, I'd rather just let it go. And I think one of the best ways to let that go is to live your life fully here now. Do it now. Live now so you don't have any regret, because I think worse than death is the regret that you didn't do what you wanted to do. Worse than death is that regret where you go, man, I really wish I would have done this, 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 and that. I could have done all this stuff in my life, and instead I wasted it being so feared out, not blissed out, but feared out by what could happen. What about the fear of failure? Fear of success? I mean, really, honestly, in my life, if I would have just gone with my fear of failure, I wouldn't be on this radio station. I wouldn't have my own syndicated show. I wouldn't be who I am. And there were times, yes, that I battled that fear. I do it constantly now. Let's not say, oh, it's behind me. I mean, no real therapist and no real person can sit there and say, oh, all fear is behind me. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's like the same as going to a therapist who's never done anything wrong in their life. How are you ever going to get any good anything perspective with somebody that doesn't know anything? You've got to deal with somebody that's actually been there, done that, looked it in the eye, got over it, figured out how to move on their own, and created a different life. And then, not only do you respect that person, but you get it. You respect that person, and you understand them. And also, guess what? They actually have tools to help you instead of just telling you whatever you want to hear because they've never been there before. I'm not going to take advice from someone that's never been there before. Because it doesn't make any sense. Their advice, there's no sense of ownership. Their advice probably doesn't work. Maybe it does, but it's out of a textbook. It's out of something that they've created out of a textbook. It has nothing to do with what they really did to get their butt out of a sling and to move on in their life. That, my friend, is the reality. And that's what I'm saying, is that fear of success and that fear of failure, I think, is predicated by the regret, because I think that the regret is so much worse than the fear. I would much rather walk into, you know, the mountain of fear and look it in the eye and go, you know what, I'm going to do this. And even if I don't succeed to the degree that I wanted to succeed, because it's all about definitions of our success, right? Because I think we always succeed when we do something. If we actually have our heart in it, and we believe in it, we're not just doing it half-cocked, you know, we're doing it the right way, when we're not doing it that way, we're giving it our all, right? When we give it our all, when you give something your all, at least a certain percentage of that, and you believe in it, you know what, it's okay. And if it doesn't actually come to fruition the way that you wanted it to, keep working at it. You're going to figure it out, and someone's going to see that what you have or what you're doing makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I like to tell a lot of my clients this, too. We've all seen these shows on TV where they talk about, like, an actor or an actress that makes it big, right? But they had gone all over the planet trying to become an actor or an actress, and nobody would sign them. Nobody wanted them. They thought they couldn't. They had no talent. For example, Dionne Warwick, right? Okay. When she was trying out for a producer back before she became famous, she said that she sang this one song better than she'd ever sang it in her life. And at the end of it, the producer looked at her and goes, honey, what do you do during the day? And she said, well, I'm a server. I'm a waitress. And he goes, don't quit your day job. You got no talent. No talent. You're awful. And she said that she left there, and for 3 or 4 solid days, she just cried and cried and cried and cried. And then eventually she goes, what the heck am I doing? And she kept working and working and working. This is Dionne Warwick, guys. Okay, some of you might not appreciate Dionne Warwick. I think she's a great singer, and I think she's really good. But I think even if you don't like the music, even if you don't like Burt Bacharach, even if you don't like that, goodness gracious, you have to say the woman's talented, okay? So think about that. There's going to be people in your life, and all the greats have gone through this. There will be people in your life that don't think you're talented, will not help you to get to where you're going to go. Will not. Some will even stand in the way to make sure that you don't get there. But there are others who will see it. And like any good behind the music show, any good Hollywood tell-all, any good show like that, there's got to be naysayers, because if everybody believed and just threw you a bone, it wouldn't be that interesting, would it? You've got to have people that basically become your roadblock for whatever reason they choose to do that. And so when I think about success and failure, it's not just you against the world, okay? Keep on plotting, keep on working, keep on creating. As we believe, and move past this discoloration of fear and failure, we're able to create some amazing stuff in our life. And all of a sudden, we realize that, yes, there's fear. I don't think fear is ever going to leave our life totally, but it can be controlled and it can be minimized. And you owe it to yourself. And if you want to, I'll have this show up on Spreaker and Stitcher and my iHeart station and all that. That'll go up probably tonight, if you want to listen to the show again. Because this show is the bedrock from feeling like a failure to being a success. This is it. A to B right here. And I think that if you listen to it again, if you need to, you're going to really figure out those spots in your life. Maybe writing down some stuff on what's the things that you fear, what are the things that you're trying to overcome, all that. And it's going to take and catapult you into a different section of success. Check out AshleyBurtis.com. We got that new Botox. We didn't get a facelift. We got some Botox and injections on this website. It's the new way of doing things, right? We're not cutting. We're just adding. Also, check out Ashley Burgess Network and Twitter, Ashley Burgess, my public page on Facebook, the Perspectives with Ashley Burgess page. Let me know how you feel. Live your true life perspectives with you know who, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. And well, I know, they should give me more time on the station. Be back this time in 3 shakes.